meets God, who is an African American woman, Jesus, who is a Jewish man, and the Holy Spirit, who is an Asian woman. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
New Agers want to be able to create religions that will make them feel good.
It's Jefferson and Madison and Franklin talking from the grave through me.
If you're a religious person, you understand that once religion takes hold in a society, it can't be stopped.
The debate over abortion seems like a 20th, 21st century thing, doesn't it? Everyone knows that abortion existed before the 20th century, but it didn't seem to be much of a debate, especially in the United States. And it may come as a surprise to you to find out that abortion has been the subject of debate and the subject of contemplation, thinking, regulation, prohibition for a very, very long time. Today on Issues Etc., we begin a series with Dennis DeMauro on abortion and its view throughout history, and how the pro-life movement isn't just a 20th and 21st century American thing. It is, in fact, woven into the history of Christendom itself. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, August the 19th. You can join us with questions or comments as we talk with Dennis tomorrow, beginning our series with him. We'll start with historical Jewish views on abortion. 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-MYIE. Email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. A little open lines follows our conversation with Dennis. We'll go back to what we were doing yesterday during open lines, listening to some of the audio from the Saddleback Civil Forum on the presidency that is, I think it's fair to say, along with the Olympics, fairly well taking over the news cycle. What Barack Obama had to say, what John McCain had to say out there in California at Saddleback Church, and what Rick Warren is saying after the event. It's almost all anyone is talking about. We'll talk about it here in about 10 minutes on Issues Etc. Then Dr. Martin Noland will join us at long last. I've often said that Dr. Noland is, for me, like that well-worn teddy bear that you pull close to your bosom when you're feeling insecure. Well, I'm not feeling insecure, but it's not bad to have Dr. Noland here with us in the second hour. We're going to remember, along with much of the church, 12th century hymn writer and theologian Bernard of Clairvaux, and then Dr. J. Bujaszewski will round off the program, and we'll talk about Christianity and college, all of the things facing young people when they go off to college. It's a wonder they make it through Christian, and many don't. We'll talk about that coming up here in about an hour and a half on Issues Etc. 1-877-623-MYIE is our call-in number, and talkback@issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address. Dennis DeMauro is a regular guest. He's president of Northern Virginia Lutherans for Life, and he's author of a new book, A Love for Life, Christianity's Consistent Protection of the Unborn. Dennis, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Dennis, we think about it as a 20th and a 21st century debate, especially Christians in the pro-life movement. But is the issue of abortion also one of the ancient world, too?
Well, yes, it is. It absolutely is. I remember I had a professor one time who used to say that the human situation is split into two distinctive time areas. The first one was before the fall, and the second one is after the fall. And it seems like ever since after the fall, we've fallen into sin, and we seem to try to find any way we can to get around God's law and God's commandments for us. And so I think that we think of it as being a modern issue because really the difference is that when you had an abortion before, let's say, the 1960s or 1970s, there was a very high likelihood that the mother's life would also be lost. And I think the difference now is that it's safe enough, and it's not safe by any stretch of the imagination, but it's safe enough that the chances are low that a mother will die from it. And so abortion has always been around, and it's always been a situation, but I don't think that we ever really thought about legalizing it in too many countries before it became really safe for the mother. But it certainly has been around, certainly in Old Testament times, and we can certainly see that.
Well, let's talk about the Old Testament, because people often labor under the misconception that the Bible has nothing to say about abortion, and that the Old Testament most certainly has nothing to say about abortion, because, of course, we're talking about very, very ancient times. So in light of your answer to the first question, what does the Old Testament say, if anything, regarding abortion?
Well, the word abortion is not found in the Bible. And because of that, a lot of pro-choice advocates will say, well, the Bible is silent on abortion. It has nothing to say about it. But in fact, we know that many, many indications in the Bible tell us that the abortion or destroying life within the womb was really unthinkable. And one of the areas that the Old Testament talks about is in Exodus 21. Now, in Exodus 21, the issue is related to a man who, in fighting with another man, inadvertently hits a woman. And that injury causes the woman to have a miscarriage. And so it goes through the Jewish law regarding that. And what it says is that if the woman loses the child but is not injured, there is a fine that is given and has to be paid to the father for the destruction of the unborn child. And, however, it's eye for eye, tooth for tooth when it comes to the mother's health. So that if a woman is injured during that assault, the person who caused it should be injured as well. And if she dies, then that person would be executed. So it goes through all this, but the point of it is that the Bible clearly shows that the destruction of a life within the womb is a crime. And in the Bible, it's a crime that is paid for by a fine.
I have heard people argue that that very passage is really kind of a sidelong allowance for abortion in the Old Testament. I've heard people who are pro-choice say, look, all that's required is a little money if the child is harmed or hurt or even killed. And so the Old Testament did not regard abortion as a serious thing at all. How do you respond to that?
Well, the way that you respond to that is yes, it is a situation in which a fine is called for, but what they're trying to say to you is that abortion is really a question over what the penalty is. But the sin exists. That is, in the Old Testament, it's clearly sinful to have an abortion, and you can see that in many other passages besides just this one. So I guess in this situation, the law stated that a fine was in order. But the point is that it's clear that it is sinful no matter what the violation was. And we know throughout church history that the violation or the penalty for causing an abortion could be the death of the mother or the person performing the abortion. So I guess the way you need to think about it is this. Is abortion sinful? Clearly, the Old Testament states that it is, and causing a miscarriage is. And you have to also remember that this situation is an inadvertent situation where a person is not intending to cause a miscarriage. There's no real indication of what the violation would be or the fine would be if it were an intentional abortion attempt, which it clearly was not in this thing. I think the thing that people need to remember is that they don't talk about abortion that much because it was kind of unthinkable to the Old Testament mindset. That is, this idea of having an abortion or taking a child in infanticide and leaving it, exposing it to death in a situation, or leaving an old person who might be of a burden to the family and letting that person be exposed and die. These things were very, very common in most of the cultures in the Old Testament times. But they were really unthinkable to the Old Testament people. God's people saw that life was precious, and God was very serious and loving to all human life. And so he was very serious about protecting it. So I guess that's the way I would answer it to you. This was an inadvertent situation where a person is injured, and it's a mistake, and it's punishable by a fine. It's clearly sinful, but then we see throughout the history of the church other penalties happening for a willful abortion, which were much, much, much stricter.
With only about 30 seconds here, someone says, well, you know, these people were medically and scientifically unsophisticated, and so they were erring on the side of caution. We know more now, and we know more. We have more sophisticated understanding of human development, and so we can make better decisions, maybe more informed decisions than these ancient Jewish peoples did. With about 30 seconds, how would you respond to that?
Well, the scientific knowledge that we have is that the development of the child is much, much more defined than it was thought to be in the old days. In fact, if you look at Aquinas and the studies that he and Augustine before him did, what they thought was that a child developed in the womb kind of like liquid. And all of a sudden, about 40 days gestation for a boy, and I think it was even less time for a girl, that the human being just becomes a baby. So they had some kind of a very strange idea about what was going on. So if you think about it, they're giving this fine on the basis of something which they felt was very, very unformed. Now, we know today that a heartbeat starts at like 20, 21 days, something like that, in a child, and there's huge amounts of development long before that 40-day period. So if anything, you would think with the science on our side today, we would be much stricter in dealing with abortion because we know so much more. We know so much more developing. But in fact, it's just the opposite. We're that much more lenient. We know what's really inside of mother growing. We know it's a precious child of God, and yet we do nothing.
Dennis DeMauro is president of Northern Virginia Lutherans for Life and author of the new book, A Love for Life. Thanks for being our guest.
Tear it out with talons of steel and give you a shot so that you wouldn't feel and washed it away as if it wasn't.